All right. Today, we are joined by a special guest. Okay, so she's not really a guest. She's my brilliant, lovely, talented, and hasn't been here enough co-host and wife, Tammy. Say hi, Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
She's not a special guest, for those of you who haven't, who remember. Well, you're special for sure. You're just not a guest. You're one of the co-hosts. You're my blood of my blood and bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh and all that good stuff. But also you're the heart and soul of this podcast, whether you're on air or not. So it's good to have you on air again. Hi.
Hi.
You're going to speak up though. I know it's been a while.
It has.
Yeah. Talk louder. Here, I'll turn the mic in your direction. There we go. Say something.
Something.
There we go. Even better. Yes. So today we're going to be talking about a few different topics, but one in particular, I didn't even spring this on you. I'm springing this on you now, I should say, is the need for us to be much more focused as a nation and as individuals and as groups and in every capacity of life, focused on the Bible, on the gospel, and on letting our biblical worldview guide us through all of this stuff. And this is the case that should have been from, all the time, I think. And I'm hoping that now this is the wake-up call. Stuff that's happening at the border, stuff that's happening with the vaccines, with coronavirus, with the economy, with cultural Marxism, woke politics, cancel culture, you name it. It's just bad stuff. And we need the Bible. All right. This is your cue. Go.
I agree.
All right. Well, let's elaborate on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for sure. For real.
So what would you like me to say?
Oh, say whatever is on your heart and mind.
Well, of course. We've always needed the Bible. And it's something that...
By the way, I really did spring this on her. In a show prep, I gave her four stories. This was not one of them. But I made a last-minute audible, last-second call.
So the story is that how much we need the Bible. Is that right?
How we should be making all of our decisions. We need to change right now.
Well, I think the primarily, okay, one thing that we have to remember, especially in this environment, in this culture, is to not be afraid to actually live out what the Bible says, to obey the commandments. And that's the commandments of Jesus. That's, it's talked about all through the New Testament. And for many Christians, we feel that we need to either sort of shy away from some certain things that may be a little too offensive to a lot of people out there. And we don't want to defend those positions because, we always have to say, well, it doesn't really mean what it's saying. What they're trying to say is that it's a different type of people. Oh, no. I think that we all just need to hold tight to the words of the Bible and don't apologize for what it says. It's okay if it says things that go against the world. That's exactly what it's supposed to do. So it's not going to be agreeable to most people, and that's okay. And I think that's okay for anyone out there who's, just beginning to read the Bible, and I think you should do it daily. For me personally, I think it's really important to stay in your Bible daily because it does make a huge difference on your thoughts and your walk. So with that being said, I think that's one of the most important things.
Absolutely.
I could add to that.
You can.
Just stay focused and don't apologize or feel like you're on your heels trying to defend what it says. You don't need to defend God's word.
Stand firm.
And
stay the course.
It can be very difficult to do, especially in arguments. So,
well, not just arguments. I mean, we're faced with family members and friends and people that we meet every day who don't want to hear the gospel, who don't want to believe. They'll sit there and they'll sit there quietly and be scolded at lunch by a Black Lives Matter group. And they will do everything they can to get through the situation. They'll put up their fists and they'll say, yes, whatever. I don't even know what the chants are.
It's not just Black Lives Matter. It's just anyone.
I didn't say it was just them. It's all this. We're surrounded by tyranny. We are. We truly are surrounded by tyranny. And tyranny has always been associated with government. We're seeing it much bigger than government. We're seeing big tech tyranny. As you know, Knock Report has been hit by tic-tac tyranny. Big tech, tic-tac, tic-tac.
Okay,
big tech tyranny.
Moving along.
Big tech tyranny.
Yeah, that's really hard to say.
It's not.
I'm glad I didn't have to say it.
Oh, that's so sweet of you, running cover for me. But you don't have to do that. Stand firm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're hit by big tech tyranny. We're mm-hmm. hit by, again, the mobs. Whether it's on the left or the right, you know, there are even mobs on the right that will go around and try to force people to feel a certain way. I get very disgusted when you see these people who are, we're against wearing face masks, okay? But with that said, we don't object to it when we're supposed to. If we're going to go into a place of business,
I still wear one. And by the way,
well, I still wear one.
We were wearing, if any of our kids or any of us went out, I'm not going to speak for him, but I'm going to speak for me as the mother.
And I never wore face masks.
My daughter, when, especially my oldest one, if she was feeling like under the weather, she would wear one when we would go to the grocery store, just because we didn't want to get everybody sick.
And this is for years, by the way, long before COVID.
Yeah, because, I mean, she was on a team. She was cheerleader and everything. And we didn't want to get the whole team sick, right? If somebody was feeling a little under the weather, I always told her, just wear a mask. So you don't want to get everybody sick, you know, sterilize your hands. Just common practice, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, so I'm not against masks.
No, and let me be clear. She's a germaphobe, but you're against mask tyranny, such as...
You don't need to force anyone.
I mean, we were out to dinner the other day to celebrate the brand new, you know, Gavin Newsom and company. They finally let us eat, and she had to walk through the restaurant, an empty restaurant, mind you. She had to walk through, and the bartender's like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, call security.
Oh no, I had to go to the restroom. You know, I need to wash my hands, whatever. And he's like, oh wait, hold on, you have to wear your mask. The bartender's very, very,
you know. Oh, I thought he stopped you on the way.
He did. Oh. He said, stop, you know.
Oh, he stopped. I thought you meant the bartender stopped you.
I was like, oh, okay. No, the bartender didn't stop me. He stopped me. Waiter stopped us to say, okay, if you don't go in, she's not going to let you in. It's like, oh, okay. She was not going to let me go to the bathroom if I don't have a mask on. Okay, fine.
That's what I'm talking about. So, here's the thing.
I mean, I do have a little bit of empathy for those people who are in those businesses who say, listen, I don't want to get shut down. We've been out of business for the last several months. If I have somebody come in and, you know, who complain that we didn't have a mask wearing customer when they went to the restroom.
I don't care whatever the excuse is, though.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. The excuse doesn't matter. It's their business. Okay.
Yeah,
if you want to do business at their business and they ask that you wear masks,
right,
you know, then you need to wear a mask.
Exactly.
I don't like this whole, you know, if you want to file a complaint with your governor, with your mayors, with government.
Right.
Okay. Don't file a complaint with a private business mm-hmm. that is telling you to do this stuff. This is, again, part of the tyranny that we're seeing when they're out there. Oh my gosh. You know, I refuse to wear a mask based upon this business. Yeah. They don't look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
They look at it as an extension of government mandates, but you need to look at it right.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Because this isn't necessarily an extension of those mandates. Some businesses want you to do that. I didn't see a whole bunch of libertarian folks and conservatives out there complaining, you know, oh my gosh, this business says that I have to wear shoes and a shirt or I can't do business there. You know, everybody take your shoes off, take your shirts off and let's go inside and cause a ruckus, you know, because this is tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
The tyranny is coming from government,
yeah,
but it is also coming from private citizens on both sides.
Right.
Okay. And the reason I bring all this stuff up is that today we're faced with it in every direction. They're canceling Dr. Seuss, but they're now Dr. Fauci is writing a kid's book. He's not writing it. I think there's a kid's book coming out about him. We're replacing Dr. Seuss with Dr. Fauci. That's insane.
Oh, that's a good, you know, that's a great headline. Ugh.
It is.
It's due in June. And it's like the most ridiculous thing. I think that, I mean, he's not a doctor, you guys. That's just, I mean, he has a doctor in his title. I mean, he's, you know, he did practice
medicine for 3 years.
He can rightfully put doctorate, a PhD, you know, or whatever. Yeah. He can rightfully have that title.
The guy's expertise is in patents.
Right, exactly. He hasn't actually practiced. So we've already been through this.
This is an old hat here. So I love having you back on the show.
I like being on the show.
So back to what I was trying to get to, and the reason that I sprung this on you, I wanted to get your raw impression of, you know, the need for us to get into this biblical worldview is that we do have an opportunity here. I think that there are going to be more people. Obviously, there's more people who are opposed today in America to the biblical worldview, but there's also more people who are not only adamant about it, but then there's a whole other group of people that need it, okay? And they're coming to the realization that they need it. People are feeling the anxiety. They're feeling the need for fulfillment that goes beyond, you know, what they can put on the table, or, you know, which Cuisinart or Xbox or whatever they can do, or what they're going to watch on Netflix or Amazon Prime. Okay, we've gotten to that point to where...
Yeah, nothing against Cuisinart.
Yeah, no.
Sorry. Let's clarify that, shall we? Although I'm privy to all clack, but...
Okay, anyway. Forget the Cuisinart part.
I know.
You get the idea. Sorry. The point is that we have an opportunity, and we need to be taking advantage of it. But even, you know, this starts personally. This starts with our own understanding. And she's right. Reading the Bible on a daily basis is an absolute must. We often, and this is unfortunate because of our schedules, we often do our Bible study apart. You know, she goes in late at night when I'm often working, and I'm doing mine, and when everybody's asleep, and yada, yada, yada. We actually came across, was it yesterday? We both were talking about Deuteronomy 13. Mm-hmm. You know, just so happened.
I'm like, did you know? He's like, yeah, I was just reading that. And I'm like, what?
Like, literally really? The day before, I was reading that whole, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
By the way, if anyone is curious as to, like, well, you know what? I've been thinking about reading my Bible each day. I just don't really know where to start. Most people, and I mean, Psalms. Just go to Psalms. Start there.
It's great. It is a great place to start.
And look at your concordance, go in the center, see where things are referenced. That'll really expand everything for you, and it'll deepen your understanding. So
I'll be talking to Jeff on Tuesday, Jeff Dornick with Freedom First Network, which you can see there's our logo, Freedom First Network. I'm co-founder along with Jeff Dornick, and I'm going to be talking to him about taking an idea that Tammy gave me, what, a decade ago, where she said we should give away Bibles. And so I think we're going to do that with Freedom First Network, because we do believe that at this point, there should be no reason why anybody in America.
I bought in the hopes that there would be people wanting free Bibles. I bought 2 boxes of free Bibles to give away.
Well, you didn't, they weren't free to you.
Right. But I did buy a couple of Bibles, and I still have a few left. So I'm hoping, you know,
yeah, we're gonna,
that would be, that was at least my calling.
For sure. And not to say, keep in mind, Freedom First Network is not a quote unquote Christian organization. Both Jeff and I are Christians. Almost everybody involved is Christian, but I mean, Eric Matheny with Bob and Eric Save America, he's Jewish. I think we got one guy who's Catholic. We've got,
anyway,
we've got a nice mix.
We've got a
Freemason.
You had to go there.
I did. Don't ask.
We didn't know.
Inside joke. Anyway, so.
He's a great guy.
He's a really good guy.
Interesting. Very interesting background.
Very interesting background. So, yeah, I shouldn't have gone there. But yeah, I'm going to be talking to him about that. And yeah, we'll be going deeper into that. I want to, we butchered this message, but that's okay, because this is just you've been gone for a while. I wanted to make sure we had some good banter in the beginning before we get into harder hitting stories. Not that this story isn't important, but I think it's good that we.
Well, speaking of the Bible, reading the Bible daily, I do wish and hope, and I'm praying, God willing, that I'm going to be able to do a weekly show as maybe like a Sabbath show.
I was going to announce it. You're stealing my thought. Of course.
I didn't know this.
That's okay.
I didn't know. Well, because it's not really, I haven't formalized. I haven't really, like, you know, I have some subjects and so forth, but it's been really weighing on me to do this. And I think it would be fun.
It will be fun. And it's going to be.
But I want to do it live.
You can do it live.
I have to do it live.
You'll do it live.
The whole purpose would be for people to, you know.
Absolutely.
Go back and forth.
Yeah. And you'll start off live. And if the comments get too bad, then I'll cut that off. No, I'll produce the show for you. I'll take care of the comments, and I'll screen them for you.
Well, I was going to say that anyone listening to this, comment and tell me if you have any suggestions for that. So I'd be willing to, I'm all ears.
All ears.
I've never done that, and it sounds a lot of fun.
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
I'm excited.
I'm excited for you. I'm excited for me. I get
God
to
willing.
God willing. God willing. We're going to be talking about a few different things today.
Yes,
Franklin Graham.
A lot to talk about.
There is Franklin
Graham. Speaking of religion.
Yeah, speaking of religion, Franklin Graham made a claim on ABC News that if vaccines were available back in the times of Jesus, that he would have taken it. Graham is speaking for our Lord and Savior and saying that he would have been a proponent of.
Yeah.
Okay, what?
So he basically...
Well, hold on. We're not getting into that yet.
Oh, we're not?
No. I'm just...
You're going to go over the points and then we're going to get back to... Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, I'm raring to go.
I know. You're new.
hey, it changes. The format changes. I can't help
every it. Every single time. We'll be talking about Franklin Graham. We'll also be talking about an article that I wrote, research sent to me by my good friends over the Liberty Daily. They sent me an article about... titled evidence. They sent me the base for it. And then I wrote the article.
Yes.
There we go. Sorry.
It's a really good article.
You take it. You read the title.
Okay. In COVID vaccine push Franklin. No, that's not it.
Tic-tac tyranny.
Evidence points to COVID-19 leaking from experiments on an antidote for their bioweapon.
Literally their bioweapon. It should be fun.
There's a lot of information in this article. I can't wait to get that.
I can't wait either. We're going to wait.
Next.
Until we get through the next.
Next.
Yes.
on
Trump's
target.
Trump, stay on target. Stay on target. Trump is going to be launching a new social network. Everybody's all excited about it. I'm not quite as excited about it myself, but I'll explain why. There's a chance it could work, but only if he does the right things, and we'll talk about that.
I think a lot of people will be interested in hearing
that. Well, sure, of course. And then last but not least...
Media blackout at the border means things are much worse than we even suspect.
It's much worse than we even suspect.
Guys,
this is terrible stuff. We've got a big show, but before we talk about that, I want to make an appeal to the audience.
Wait.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to take a drink of my Freedom First coffee.
Oh, my gosh. That is such a good idea. I'm going to take a drink of my Freedom First coffee. I'm going to use my blue cup. You can use your pink cup. And that way, we won't be practicing cultural Marxism. I actually did a story about cultural Marxism the other day, and I had to use your cup, and it fit perfectly.
Great.
I drank out of your cup.
You drink after... Okay.
That's no, I washed it. It's okay, germaphobe. So, I do want to make an appeal to our audience. Okay. We are looking at... potential sponsors for the show. And I want to, you know, we've had inquiries from lots and lots and lots of different people. Listen, we're doing this. This obviously is not a hobby for us. This is our means of living. This is what we do for a living. We don't have day jobs. Okay. With that said, we're also not sellouts. So, you know, we've been kind of maybe too selective, I guess, in a lot of ways with the sponsors that we allow to come on. Obviously, we made our own coffee brand with Freedom First Coffee. You can go to freedomfirstcoffee.com, and she'll be talking more about that here in a second when we go to the break. But we're looking at a couple of green drinks. Okay, we like green drinks. Mm-hmm. We have one of our own. We're going to be trying others. We're talking to a couple of gold guys. Okay, golds, precious metals,
not
silvers.
Not your usual gold guys.
Right. Yeah, very. Yeah, these aren't the type of gold guys that you normally see. We're out, you know, we've been trying to make contact with MyPillow since they seem to be sponsoring literally
we're a little raw about that, aren't you?
It just bugs me to death. It's like, I see this like little dinky podcast. I start listening to it and it's like, what? They got a MyPillow? I can't get Mike Lindell to call me back. So if anybody knows Mike, just call me. Come on, man. That's my Joe Biden impersonation.
We've owned
MyPillow for years. Why don't we get why? Why? No, don't get me started.
That
looking at you know.
To be yet. Don't
bottom
worry
line,
about it.
My request for you guys, the audience, is to if you know businesses that are patriotic, okay, America First style businesses, okay. You know,
kitchen supplies.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
No, she's not. not at all. She's not kidding. No, if you know,
I will
those
sell it. You
who,
have no idea.
If you know or own or work for a business, or just want to refer one to us that would consider sponsoring not just the show,
a great
not just Freedom First Network.
You personally would buy from
because we
if
won't
you were in
endorse.
Market.
We won't advertise with anyone that we don't agree with. Okay.
Right.
I mean, when I say we're not sellouts, I'm not ripping on those who will. They'll take whatever sponsors will come along. We've got to actually
and not believe just in whatever product we're selling. Right, exactly. And not just give a suggestion, but if you know them personally, or even if you use them, hey,
our coffee reach producer, out for we us. Knew personally. Well, we didn't. Jeff Dornick and his wife knew them personally, but still.
So if you know, even if you know anybody,
if you can vouch for somebody, we need sponsors. We do. And it's not just for Freedom First Network. It's not just for the Knock Report podcast. It's also for knockreport.com, which gets, you know, we've had a few great months in a row. Okay. This is March looks like it's going to be just another fantastic month. We've been averaging somewhere between 1 and 2 million visitors per month. So ever since the election. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things are looking good. We have good exposure and we have a great audience. So if you guys are interested, please contact me.
The best way to do that. For all of those out there, by the way, who have supported us, we can't even tell you how grateful we are. Mm-hmm. And we pray for you. We are so thankful for your support. And this is why we're still doing what we're doing. And we hope to do more and expand what we're doing.
As long as we don't get hit by tic-tac tyranny. Best way to contact us, go to noqreport.com. Click on the contact button. That goes directly to me. So again, if you guys know sponsors,
please reach out.
Speaking of sponsors, she did a post or a sponsored clip that we're about to play that it actually got hit twice by Facebook. Now did I tell you about that?
No.
Oh yeah. It got hit twice by Facebook. So we appealed. We got a manual appeal and it eventually got lifted. It's like, oh, sorry, our bad.
Oh.
But this is how bad things are. Okay. That our ads are getting hit by Facebook.
It didn't make any sense either.
Tic tac tyranny. So we will see. let's cut to a break, shall we?
We shall. Can you smell it? It's your favorite freshly ground coffee brewing in your favorite cup. If you're anything like me or my family, coffee is essential for our mornings. And even more essential is good quality coffee. Well, Freedom First Coffee is our preferred choice. Made from organically grown beans from Mexico and Peru, that are then roasted here in the USA. So head on over to freedomfirstcoffee.com and choose our Founders Blend in medium or dark roast, ground or whole bean. That's freedomfirstcoffee.com. And make sure you use promo code KNOCK, that's N-O-Q, for 10% off your order. And if you really want to be a freedom lover, choose a monthly subscription so you will never be without your Morning Joe. Again, that's freedomfirstcoffee.com.
Did you hear about Franklin Graham?
I did.
What did you hear about him?
I heard that Jesus got the COVID-19 vaccine.
Or would have gotten the vaccine.
Oh, yes, he would have.
It's not that Jesus got the COVID vaccine. It's that if the vaccines were around, if vaccines in general were around in the time of Jesus, that according to Franklin Graham, Jesus would have gotten it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Holy Spirit can't.
Yeah, don't even.
It has nothing on COVID-19, apparently.
Franklin Graham. What do you think of Franklin Graham? Let's start
you
there.
Know, I mean, the whole Graham family, they're okay. I mean, it's just, I think from what I gather, from what I can sense, I think they're just, you know, they believe in what they're saying for sure. It's I don't know. It's a family business.
And it is a business.
And I do believe that, you know, they're older now. And so maybe they just feel that. But to say something like this,
yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, he's been a Trump supporter. He said some good things, some bad things. I'm with you. I'm kind of, I wouldn't say lukewarm to him, but yeah, I mean, he's never really been on my radar. This is actually a first story about him as far as I can
tell. Yeah, I don't really.
But here's the quote. This is what he told us. Okay. So there was it's about 11 minute, segment or special report from ABC News ran last week, I believe it was. And they got a lot of people in the clergy.
They will interview an evangelical.
Yeah. That's funny because they got Tony Spell, who we've actually interviewed before, pastor down in Louisiana, who got arrested, I think, twice for opening his church during COVID and you know, stuff like that. They got Hagee, what's his first name?
John.
This is John Hagee. Yeah, they got John Hagee. They got some pastors and Catholic priests and whatever. And the idea was using the church and the clergy to promote the COVID vaccine. Right. Graham is a vaccine person. Okay, he's claims to be pro-science. He said that his father, the late Billy Graham. Sorry, I was going to say Lindsey Graham. Like, wait, Lindsey Graham wasn't his father.
It can be difficult.
Okay, yeah, Billy Graham. The late Billy Graham was always took vaccines, you know, and they believe in medical science. And look, we do too. I don't want to come out and say, oh my gosh, we're against medical science. But there is a line that you don't cross. And that line is you don't make claims that Jesus would have supported this. You never speak for Jesus. He's got his own.
So I'm going to go ahead and read what he quoted.
This is what Graham said on ABC News.
Anytime there was a vaccine or something that could help protect you, he was an advocate for that. He took it.
He was an advocate for. He took it. Oh, and that's referring to his father.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus. Graham told ABC
News. Talking about Jesus.
Now he's talking about, quote, I think if there were vaccines available in the time of Christ, Jesus would have made reference to them and used them.
I'm not going to say that he wouldn't, because then I would be a hypocrite.
I think that you just have to understand that they're most likely. I mean, he is older, and the polio vaccine.
He's 68. Okay.
He is. Well, that's older.
It's older, but I mean,
You know, I don't know. It depends. It depends on people's view. I mean, it's still in that generation. Is you know, the polio vaccine was. I mean, it was huge, and they all were for vaccines. I mean, none of our parents were that same generation. I mean, nobody questioned vaccines. I mean, you did it. It was a great thing. Even my dad's generation, which is old, which is the golden generation. Is that right? The golden? Yeah. Born in 27. He was fine with vaccines. So I think that it's just a completely different era when it comes to our generation and even millennials. It's just a little bit, we have a little bit more information. And also we have lived in a time where those polio and those things, measles and chicken pox and all these different things haven't affected our kids as much as it did back. And we have so many, you know, a lot of medicines and stuff.
I thought you were going to say we have so many kids.
We have a lot of advanced in medicine to where we don't have to. It's just, it's different. Okay. And I think
is different.
I don't mean to be making excuses or even going this long talking about it, but I think that might be the reason why he feels so strongly about it being a good thing.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You don't say that Jesus would have taken it. That's wrong.
Oh, for sure.
Period.
I'm not making excuses for that. Okay. I'm just saying that he probably feels that it's a really good thing.
I don't care. It's a good thing or not. You don't do that. Especially when we look at this. So this is a different scenario. We're not just talking about any old, you know, polio vaccine or whatever. Okay, when we're talking about the various COVID vaccines, we are talking about experimental drugs. We were talking about things that have not been tried before, that have never been successful. This is a whole different breed. One does not have to be an anti-vaxxer to question the efficacy and the safety of the COVID vaccines, especially when we look at the statistics that are coming out from people who are taking
They've recently just changed to where now there's only one shot. In fact, I was at the drugstore having to pick up something, and CVS is what it was. And they were saying that they now have the one shot available, and there were elders.
One shot for now.
They were lined up. And you know, it's interesting because they were lined up. They were elderly lined up for it. And they were so glad, you know, because they didn't even realize that it was one shot that they were receiving. They thought they were getting the two phase.
Sure.
And when the lady came out and said, oh no, but these are one shot, they were all like, oh, that's even better. And, you know, like I said, it's a generational thing. I think too, but yes, there
these
have been
are not
many
like
countries
those vaccines,
in Europe.
Though.
Well, in Europe, there have been several countries, large companies, Germany being one. I mean, they've all said, I think Ireland was the most recent. I might be wrong about that. That said, no more.
Certain vaccines.
To certain vaccines, right. The one is the two phase, where a lot of people were actually dying from the second shot. And
blood clots through AstraZeneca's.
Well, I think it was what's his face? Bueller.
Ben Stein.
Ben Stein. He had the second shot just recently, and he did a video on, and he was talking about his experience with it. And he said it was really, really rough. Mm-hmm. But he said that
Hank Aaron died 2 weeks after taking his.
Yeah.
Okay.
There have actually been a lot of elderly people that have died shortly after taking. Some have not have been attributed to the vaccine. Many actually haven't been attributed to the vaccine. So
Marvelous Marvin Hagler, the day that he died, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, who's, I think he was like 68 or 70 at the time. Okay. There was a post, an Instagram post by Tommy Hearns, one of his nemeses. Okay. Great boxer. These guys, I grew up watching these guys in the 80s. Okay, Tommy Hearns is like, hey, you know, need thoughts and prayers for Marvelous Marvin Hagler. You know, he just got his second shot or something to that effect, and he's having a hard time with it. Let's get him through that. A few hours later, he died, and then everybody's like, oh, you know, it wasn't. Let's find out press should have been like. Let's find out what vaccine he took. What was his health condition at the time? Mm-hmm. You know, instead it was all about nope. Anti-vaxxers are hopping on this and saying that it was the vaccine when it definitely wasn't the vaccine that caused this. Okay, well, what was it? Well, nobody knows. Because how do you know it wasn't the vaccine? Because it wasn't the vaccine, you bigots or something. I don't even know. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. Ask questions. You're journalists. I don't understand why they're not asking these questions. Actually, I do understand, but that's a whole other theory.
We have another story.
Hold on.
Talking about journalists.
Yeah, yeah.
Not doing their job.
Oh, yeah. We
others not being able to do their job.
Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure. I forgot my train of thought.
They should be doing their job.
They should be doing their job. But there was something
asking
else. Asking questions. I don't remember.
Getting to the bottom, seeing who, how much.
This was. Oh, right, right. Okay. So let's be clear. Sorry, now I remember. Totally, yeah, because I was switching gears, and that's what threw me off. Maybe I need to take some
Freedom First coffee.
Yeah,
it's my fault. I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. I'm the one that's having the brain fart. Look, I want to be clear about my stance. I don't want to speak for my lovely, brilliant, talented, and amazing wife, but my stance on vaccines is this: if you want to take a vaccine, fine, but know the information about it.
Well, in terms of vaccines, you and I totally agree. There's only a few things that we sort of germaphobe situation. Yeah. But
medium rare vaccines, steak. I eat my steaks medium rare. She does not.
But when it comes to vaccines, I mean, obviously we're going to agree, or, you know what I mean?
People should have the right to take vaccines if they absolutely want to. But I do recommend to everybody, whether you're pro-vaccine, anti-vaccine, whatever, do the research. Okay. Mm-hmm. Know what you're getting into.
Right.
Okay. You know, if you want it for peace of mind, great. If you want it because you think it's going to make it to where we're going to get to the new normal and you're not going to have to wear a mask, wrong. They've already said that that's not going to happen. We're going to be forced to wear masks pretty much indefinitely. Okay. This is the new normal. We have to fight back against that, but that has nothing to do with the vaccines. Once everybody's vaccinated, once they get to 40%, 60%, whatever they want to shoot for, then they're going to find another reason for it to happen. We already heard from Moderna, I think it was one of the groups. I don't want to say for sure which one it was, but one of them, you know, they had this meeting last week over, you know, talking to investors, and they were talking about this tremendous opportunity that the vaccines offer them. They weren't talking about just these vaccines. They were talking about after the pandemic's over, that the continuous churn, the need for further vaccinations, for further boosters, for new strains. They were giddy with the prospects of this. And that really bugs me to death. It does. But we're going to be talking about vaccines a little bit later. Let's do a quick... I have to take a quick break.
Okay.
But when we're back, we'll talk about it some more.
Big Tech hates us. As of this recording, we've been banned by Spotify, YouTube, and Twitter. And we've had numerous warnings from Facebook. But that's okay. They will not deter us from always focusing on the truth. We will not be beholden to the gaslighters and propagandists. So, where can you find us? Head over to Rumble, Brighteon, BitChute, and other video channels, as well as networks like Gab, Parler, and Minds. But the place where we can really use your help is on Locals. We need 1,000 followers on Locals so we can publish all our content there without limits. Please go to ffn.locals.com That's foxtrotnovember.locals.com and follow us. This will help us preserve our content and continue to tell the truth to the world. Thank you to all our listeners, and God bless.
So, did you hear the big news yesterday about Trump's social network?
I did.
Apparently, he's coming out with a social network in 2 to 3 months.
How fun.
It's not going to be fun. No. Unless he's doing something very special, I will tell you that, number one, it's not necessary. Number two, it may actually fail. I know what you're saying. You're thinking nothing that Trump does can possibly fail.
So you think it's a bad idea?
I think it's a very bad idea. And I'm not alone. Now, let's throw out the caveat. I think that it would be a good idea if he's doing something special. In other words, if this isn't just a Twitter or Facebook alternative, then great. Okay. I can't wait to see it. Mm. If it is, as I suspect, just another social media site that's going to compete with Twitter and Facebook, then there's no point. Go to Gab. Okay. Go to Parler if you don't like Gab, but don't build a new one. That's my advice to Donald Trump. What do you think?
I have my theory of what he might be wanting to do that for the reason why he wants to do that. If it's true that, but you want to read this article first. I knew you were going to say that. So according to Big League Politics, Trump advisor Jason Miller revealed last month that President Trump is considering starting his own social media internet property in the summer as part of a return to online discourse. Miller also said the president is considering using an existing free speech social media platform, such as Gab or Parler, with both options a possibility. The hypothetical new social media platform would be called something akin to Trumper. Go figure. However, this would be a bad idea. President Trump should use Gab, a free speech social media platform. A Gab-administered account created for Trump's public statements has already more than 2 million followers. Big tech didn't build their internet and social media monopolies in a day. Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook's monopoly in their respective social media markets was built through decades of buying out competition, market consolidation, and anti-competitive business practices. So this sort of lends to my theory, the name Trumper. I think if it's true and he is thinking of doing this, I do believe that the narcissist that he is, it may just be a platform for him to congratulate himself and to speak to his true followers, as well as potentially being a way for him to maybe have a future campaign.
Absolutely.
You know, an outlet for him to
whether him
state
or somebody
his ideas.
Else.
Right. I mean, these are his cheer. This will be basically if he does do this, this will be a site for his cheerleaders. This will be no other thing but for
listen.
Them.
If it's
and
called
I
Trumper,
think
I'm,
that,
I, there's no. Go ahead. Sorry.
What? What are you going to say?
Well, so you go into to Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. And you tweet something. Hey, I tweeted that. You know, right?
Right.
You go to Facebook, you Facebook stuff. You know, did you see my Facebook post? And did you see what I Facebooked the other day? Okay. Imagine going up, hey, did you see what I Trumpered? Okay. What are you doing? I'm Trumpering.
So they probably won't name it Trumper, but the point is, I don't know. I think that it would be. Sorry,
we're at a loss. I threw her off, just, and then it's yeah. She threw me off the previous show, so I'm throwing her off.
I
now.
Know. No, our dog was making a weird noise, and so it kind of threw me off.
I didn't even hear that.
Yeah, it sounds like something was crawling.
We
over
try
there.
Not to
her.
Reveal personal information, so we don't want anybody to know.
We don't
we
have a dog.
We have no dog. That was a mountain lion. That was coyotes. Did you hear those coyotes?
Well, no. Then that sort of gives away where we're at.
Oh right.
Oh wait, no. Coyotes are everywhere.
Yeah, especially south of the border.
Next.
Yeah. So bottom line is we're in wait and see mode.
Yeah.
But I'm not very confident that whatever social media site they're going to build, that it's going to be fantastic. I hope I'm wrong. Okay. As a Trump supporter, I really hope that I'm wrong.
Yeah, it could be totally something completely different. It could be actually useful.
We'll see. Not hopeful, but we'll see. I wrote an article yesterday. This article I actually did quite a bit of research on. It was sent to me by my good buddy over at thelibertydaily.com who said, hey, did you see this? And it was I actually had to jump through a lot of hoops because it was on The Australian, and it has a paywall. And I'm not a big fan of paywalls. Mm-hmm. I went ahead and paid to get to the article because it really was that important. I'm glad I did. It was $1.99. Don't worry. I didn't break the bank yet. But if you guys want to help support us, you can go to noqreport.com/give and help donate so my wife doesn't get mad that I spent $1.99 on an article. So this article at The Australian was worth the purchase, and I was able to get a lot from it. Started doing further research, went into the Daily Mail, went into a bunch of other things, and realized this is bad stuff. Did you see my headline?
I did.
Why don't you read it?
Evidence points to COVID-19 leaking from experiments on an antidote for their bioweapon.
I've always thought that there was a good chance. When we've interviewed, Stephen Mosher.
There you go.
I interviewed Stephen Mosher, who's a China expert, last month, and he was telling us about how, you know, this was a bioweapon. And I've had, you know, we get on with Lieutenant General Tom McInerney, who should be joining the show this week to talk about it further. You know, he claims that it's a bioweapon. He said that on two mics yesterday.
Like, pretty definite. Like,
yeah, Mosher was sure about it. Yeah. And now there's another gentleman who's been making his rounds. This guy knows his stuff, though. Okay. David Asher. Yeah. Mm-hmm. David Asher. He was in charge of the COVID investigation for the government.
And he's worked for both administrations, by the way.
All three. He's worked all the way back.
All the way back?
Yeah.
How far? I didn't realize.
Yeah. He worked for Obama, Trump, and.
Yeah.
And.
And Biden.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. He worked in the White House at some point. Yeah. So.
He's not completely biased to one side or the other. He's just
right,
science.
Right, exactly. He's just about the science, just about breaking it down, follow the money. He's been on Fox News. He's been interviewed by The Australian, and now we're writing about him. Number one, I hope that you guys will read the article. Number two, we're going to give you a little prelude to that by reading the first three paragraphs. That's your
cue. So despite mainstream media's attempts to hide the truth, information has been trickling out for weeks that the most likely scenario regarding the origins of COVID-19 paints the Chinese Communist Party in an extremely negative light. In short, they were, or are, developing an illegal bioweapon, and the leak that led to the current pandemic was the result of their attempts to develop an antidote. Diseases and bioweapons generally have no preference for their victims. There are genetic traits that make certain racial groups and individuals more or less susceptible to diseases, but development of such selective weapons is currently beyond the scope of known medical science. This makes it necessary to develop cures, vaccines, and antidotes to any bioweapons being developed for deployment against enemies. Even the Chinese Communist Party would rather their enemies get infected while their own people remain unscathed. With all this in mind, let's look at the recent developments that point to the theory that the Chinese Communist Party was developing a bioweapon and its associated antidote. The Australian reported today confirmation that the most likely source of the disease was a cluster of researchers from the Wuhan Virology Lab.
There were three.
So I was just going to say the reason why he says this is because there were three virologists who actually were admitted to the hospital back in November of 2019 for COVID-19 symptoms, hospitalized. Mm-hmm. So if you want to elaborate on that, this is huge. This will be the first time you've heard this.
Well, and it's the funny part is that I just want to...
Aside from the Australian publication.
Well, but we're in America.
Right.
So... and not everybody has $1.99 they can spend on this article.
That's true.
You can get all the information you need for free at noqreport.com. So here's the mainstream. I want to cut to the mainstream media push right now. They're saying that it was, and this is a recent push. They were pushing different stories before about the wet market and bat soup and all this other stuff. And that got debunked. So they started switching to other things. They're doing everything they possibly can to try to make us avoid the obvious conclusion, which the Wuhan Virology Lab is the source of this. And Mike Pompeo came out just the other day and acknowledged this. Okay. He says he has seen evidence of this. Most likely scenario number two, or aspect number two, is that this is part of a bioweapons program. Now, people will say, oh, but, you know, you don't know that. You can't say that. Actually, we kind of can, and we kind of do say that. Because in 2007, they even said they were pushing for this type of research. Now, it's been banned by the United Nations, banned by the international community. But we know that they have acknowledged that they are working on stuff. They say it's for defensive purposes. But here's the thing, and this is the part that really gets to me. Their push right now, the media, which much of it is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, they're saying that it was a mutation of a virus that jumped from animal to human and then mutated. And then these three people, these three virologists, just happened to be the first people infected. As I stated in the article, if you believe that, you would also believe me when I say that there was a random asteroid, okay, turned into a meteorite, broke up in the atmosphere, and landed on three houses. And all three of those houses that it landed on happened to be astronauts. That just, this is too much of a coincidence for the virologists at a lab known to be developing bioweapons for them to contract this disease first. This was a leak. Whether intentional or not, this was a leak of a bioweapon.
Okay, so at the beginning of all of this, I think of so many people, I mean, it was obvious that something wasn't right. This was a different virus. I mean, it really was. And I think everybody has sort of, not everybody, I say everybody, but I mean, a lot of people had there was something not right. Then we started hearing rumors about, you know, the bat soup situation and all this other stuff. Well, it was obvious. I mean, at first, the information wasn't very widely reported that the wet market was right across from the lab. Okay. And then we finally realized that, or finally were told after some investigation, that this is actually right across from the lab that was actually testing the virus. Okay. That was actually... Now, and then that springs to mind the picture of Obama that was in the bat cave. You know how the scientists were in the bat caves, and this was sort of an, photo op. The Chinese lab, people from Wuhan, there's a picture from back in 2010 or 2009. They were talking about studying the coronavirus, the virus from the bats, and this was a coronavirus type of situation, and Obama was right next to the scientist, and it was I have to dig it up. I've
never seen this.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Obama made COVID-19?
No, he was there. He knew about it. They were talking about doing this research for this virus that could affect it. It could be a global situation. They were trying to come up with a vaccine. So anyway, so it was no surprise to learn that this lab had access to this coronavirus, and that now we find out that they were trying to most likely make an antidote to something that they were going to potentially use as a bioweapon. Is that right?
That's right.
So, I mean, it's not really surprising, especially since the bats that they're accusing of giving to this coronavirus to people are not found or not sold at that wet market. So, and that was later discovered that these bats were not even sold at that market. Okay. So that was sort of out of the question. And those particular type of bats that carry that virus are like a far, far away. I
think 500 kilometers,
500 kilometers away. So that wasn't an option.
That's either. Like 30 miles.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Okay. So anyway, so it's not so, you know, it's not surprising, but it is nice that we're finally getting some answers. But like in, I think this article even pointed out that eventually, regardless, we will find out the truth.
Well, that was what happened. So no, the funny that you say that, eventually we'll find out the truth. This was a media, I think it was Fox 18 or World 18 News or something.
News
like
18.
That. News 18. There we go.
Yeah.
It was picked up by Yahoo. This was posted about a week ago. It was a mainstream media article that was widely spread that said that it did not originate at the Wuhan.
Oh, yeah. You know who said that? It was a WHO.
Yeah. World Health Organization.
Member, yeah.
Yeah. You know, they.
Of course not.
It did not originate there. And they were saying, you know, they had this one scientist, you know, we're going to find out the truth. we are going to know the truth here in the next few years or so, maybe decades, you know. And now we already, here's the thing, we already know the truth. You learned it here at Knock Report. COVID-19 was developed by Barack Obama in 2010. You heard it here first, folks. Now,
he helped develop it.
I don't know.
So they are saying that the biggest question, and I think that the article, if you don't mind me giving away the end.
No, give away the end.
It's a great saying, basically.
Dumbledore died.
You know, the real question is, wasn't it? We know that it was leaked from the lab. I don't think anybody at this point, if you're questioning whether or not it came from the lab, then you really need to do more research. And, you know, Knock Report has plenty of information on it. We've been saying this since almost the beginning. Mm-hmm. So at the end, I think the question was it intentional or wasn't it? And I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, you're right. And here's the
thing. I don't know if it was intentional or not.
I don't think it was.
I don't think,
do you know why I don't think it was?
Tell me.
I don't think it was because I think that it came out. So there's two possibilities. Yes, they were developing a bioweapon. Yes, they were developing an antidote so that they could administer it. This came out before the antidote was done, which tells me that it came out too early. Mm-hmm. Okay. If they would have been, this is the Chinese Communist Party we're talking about. They would have not have unleashed this to the world unless they had their own people protected, including themselves.
That's what I was thinking, is that basically it seemed like they were creating an antidote to protect them people so that everybody else could fall around them and they could be subservient to China.
But, and this is a big but, the second notion, and this is where we get into really, do you have a tinfoil? Where's our tinfoil hats? You don't have one? No. Well, we should get some. This is actually what I'm leaning towards. I know this is going to sound bad, because it's very conspiratorial. But I believe that it was intended to be developed and for them to get the antidote. But that the powers that be, the powers and principalities, the people, you know, above the pay grade of Xi Jinping and everybody else, that they decided, you know what, whatever level of development this disease, this antidote is in, it's getting released in approximately October or November of 2019. Because for us to be able to, number one, destroy President Trump, number two, get in Joe Biden, number three, push the Great Reset, we need it to come out right now. So doesn't matter whatever the level you're at, you know, oh, you got it, it's good. Does it kill people? Yeah. Does it kill a lot of people? Yeah. Is it fixable? Probably. Okay, go with it. And again, I'm not accusing the Chinese Communist Party of doing that. They would have gone for efficiency and said, let's wait until it's completely ready to kill a bunch of people. It would have killed a lot more people and no Chinese person would have died as a result. But with the New World Order, the whatever you want to call it, they saw this as an opportunity to push their agenda and they forced its release.
There was a really, really early rumor, conspiracy theory now, that it was Americans, and it was actually witnessed, and there was somebody,
a Canadian whistleblower,
yes, who said that they came in, isn't it through Canada, that they brought the virus to America, but it was, yeah, that they knew about it. And of course we did, and that was the whole point of bringing up Obama, is that we knew about it. The CDC, I mean, there's pictures, okay, of Obama there talking about a coronavirus, not this particular one, obviously, but a coronavirus that they were developing, trying to develop a vaccine for, and they were studying it through those bats that they're saying were responsible for spreading it in Wuhan. So it's not coincidence, I don't think. There's just too many. I mean, you're telling that not only did that happen, okay, because there's video evidence of it, but that
you can't find that video online, by the way.
That you can't tell me that the virus was started across from the very lab, the only lab that was creating the virus that got spread, wasn't responsible for the virus
that got spread. And it just happened that the virologists from the Wuhan lab were the ones that got hospitalized first.
First, yeah.
For it, just like astronauts getting their houses hit by meteorites.
I mean,
Obama built this.
Oh my gosh.
You're not going to live that one down. Now we know what's they're putting in the water. to make the frogs gay. It's the COVID, folks. It's the COVID. Keep that in mind.
Can you smell it? It's your favorite freshly ground coffee brewing in your favorite cup. If you're anything like me or my family, coffee is essential for our mornings. And even more essential is good quality coffee. Well, Freedom First Coffee is our preferred choice. Made from organically grown beans from Mexico and Peru, they're then roasted here in the USA. So head on over to freedomfirstcoffee.com and choose our Founders Blend in medium or dark roast, ground or whole bean. That's freedomfirstcoffee.com. And make sure you use promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, for 10% off your order. And if you really want to be a freedom lover, choose a monthly subscription so you will never be without your Morning Joe. Again, that's freedomfirstcoffee.com.
There's a media blackout at the border. Have you seen it?
No, because it's blacked out.
You can't see it. What's happening?
Nobody can see. You know
nobody
why?
Nobody can see.
Because they won't allow anyone to take pictures the first time.
No, you do.
I mean, okay, so there's a photojournalist who works for Getty Images.
His reported last name by Daily Wire.
Yes, initially it reported by Daily Wire. His last name is Moore. I can't remember his first name.
Less Moore. I don't think it's Less. Go ahead. Keep going.
It's not. Anyway, so he is a photojournalist who takes pictures of the border situation and has for the last several administrations. The acronym for the border protection?
CBP?
CBP. So it was started in 2003 by Bush. And since then, there have been people who have taken pictures so we can see what's going on. We need to know.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's not just pictures. It's just
for the first time
they come in, they report on it. Conditions. That's how we know. But oh my gosh, Obama put people in cages. And no, wait, they didn't report that. They waited until Trump was.
But
oh my gosh,
pictures.
Trump's putting people in Obama's cages.
Right, but we have pictures, and it was because of photojournalists taking pictures and for the most part doing their job.
Right.
However, the first time, first in all the administrations, for the first time, they are not allowed to do so. Mm-hmm. So the photojournalist was kicked out as were several other journalists, not just taking photos, but trying to report on the situation at the border, which at this point has become a major crisis. We're talking about something beyond even what the Obama administration had developed with kids in cages, which is a real thing. And it wasn't Trump who did that. So,
well, Trump did do it.
They are not allowing people to take pictures of what's happening. In fact, I think the photojournalist was able to capture the border with a photo lens, a very, very large
long lens shots from across the border.
He had to go to Mexico. And Mexico is actually starting to say, okay, we're having an issue right now. So they're starting to crack down on people trying to cross the border. And I mean, it's a huge mess.
Guys, but here's the thing. Let's cut straight to the chase here. Okay, let's cut to the chase. Whatever you think right now, however bad you think it is, whatever news reports you're seeing right now about how bad the border crisis is, it is much, much, much worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because here's the thing, we're even mainstream media, okay, that loves Biden, loves Jen Psaki, loves the Democrats, okay, loves illegal immigration. Even they are starting to ask questions and they're starting to get concerned. And the thing is that as bad as they think that it is, if it were just that bad or even a little bit better than that, then they would be allowed to go and report on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're not allowed to report on these things that they're reporting on, which are really, really bad, they're not allowed to confirm or debunk or anything.
Well, let's
tells
just
us that
yeah.
tells us that it has to be worse than what we're even being told.
Well, let's just put in perspective. You know that there's no media is complete black on this. They're not allowed to go in there. The administration is not allowing for anyone to take pictures or to go in and to check the situation out. But the person who was, or people, I don't know if it was Moore who actually took this picture. I can't say for sure. But a picture was snapped. Just happened to get snapped from taking a picture of children drowning, trying to cross the river. There's a massive amount of children are being sent over without parents. The parents are sending them over. Okay. And I think Biden came out and said that, you know, well, if, or not Biden, excuse me, Mayorakis, the Mayorakis. Yeah.
Isn't that a character from Dune?
No, it was the guy who, you know, Trump was talking about how, what an idiot this guy was talking about. Well, if, you know, these loving parents send this child over, then this child is no longer, basically no longer an illegal immigrant, and we will take care of them. Okay. So you have this, you know, and I think Trump was exactly spot on when he's like, we left this to be completely in autopilot. Mm-hmm. You could have, the border was under control. You have made a complete and utter mess of it in just 2 months. I mean, they are scrambling. It's a huge deal. If the Border Patrol agents are not allowing people to inquire about what's behind the door, I think we have a major problem, guys. And it's one thing, illegal immigration, you know, I think we've made our point on how we feel about this, but in these conditions, okay, there still has to be some, people have to answer for this. And this is on Biden and his administration. If we find that there is some major horrific conditions for these people trying to cross.
We won't find it because there definitely are.
Okay. Oh yeah. It's, you know, the there have to be.
This is bad across the board. Every, you know, aspect of this is horrible.
Outbreaks. You know, they want to make a big deal about, you know, somebody had COVID at the Mar-a-Lago.
I know.
The entire freaking border is probably completely.
They're saying 10%. Of the illegal immigrants right now. Was a mainstream media report last night.
Can you imagine, guys?
10%.
They can't keep this secret for much longer, especially if you have,
you know, they might be able to.
You know what you would have to do?
I don't want to be.
Do you know what they would have to do?
Doom and gloom, but
do you know what they would have to do for those poor people who do get sick or are sick and are coming over and they're sick in those, in being, while being held?
Hide them in Gitmo?
Are you kidding me? Are you going to take all these people to the hospital? Are they going to? Or are they just probably going to just leave them there, because then everybody will find out how horrific these conditions might be for these people who are flooding over really quick.
Do you remember what was happening? Do you remember what happened in Europe when the Syrian crisis was sending?
Oh, it's like
it's okay. The Syrian crisis. There's a big difference between the Syrian crisis that led to the floodgates opening up in Europe that happened, you know, 3-4 years ago. That was really, really, really bad. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. They had an ocean separating them. We don't. We've got a river. The river's bad enough, but...
And the Rio Grande's not that deep.
I mean, it's...
In a lot of places.
This is... We don't have true protections against this, you know? And they're coming, and it's... And keep in mind, folks, I always say this. I'm a legal immigrant. We're in favor of legal immigration. Okay? We are. Legal immigration is good.
And we don't blame these people for wanting to come here.
Oh, no, exactly.
Like most of them anyway.
Especially the lies they're being told by the globalists, by the source organizations, by the Democrats, by the Biden administration.
You know, it should tell you something.
It should.
That this administration coming in, that people got word, like, I mean, you saw caravans forming before his inauguration, and this was just back in, just immediately they knew, boom. Oh, we can get through, no problem. They're not going to eat. And you know how many of the bad guys also thought that, oh, give me a break. Well, it's like, it's not, doesn't exist. Give me a break. Not, but they created this, they want to open the borders for the sake of humanity. They want to say, oh, we have to open the borders, but they have created, this is crime against people.
Colonel Mike was in DC the other day.
Oh my gosh.
And he's noting, he took pictures and sent them to me. I should put them up. Took pictures and sent them to me. In DC, there was this tent city for the homeless. Okay. Right across the street. I think it was from not the Capitol, but it was across the street from some major area. It was by the university. By Georgetown. Yeah. And you know, he's showing me these pictures, and he's like, really, you know, we can't even fix our own problems, and we're telling other people to come here and saying that the borders are open. It's ridiculous. We interviewed David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, the other day, And he was telling me that there are currently operatives, terrorist operatives in Washington, D.C. And there are more coming. And where are they coming from? How are they getting here? They're coming through South America, into Central America, into the United States, through our southern border. We're already seeing, you know, who was it? Somebody went down there. Oh, Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy went down there, and that's what the Border Patrol was telling him. The media might not be able to ask questions, but he's, as a House Minority Leader, he was asking questions, and he said that the Border Patrol were like, yeah, we're getting people from Qatar, Yemen,
Because
Iran.
That's what I'm saying, is that most of the people coming through are not from Mexico. They're not Mexicans. I mean, like, this is...
Mostly Guatemalans, think, El Salvadorans.
The problem is, like, you know, no, this is not...
Hondurans.
Yeah, and that's why Mexico has stepped in. And said, okay, we have to do something, because not only are we having to control the drug cartels and everything that's now on the Mexican border, because this brings it to their border as well. Okay, this is not what Mexico wants. All right. Not only do we have that issue, but we have a humanitarian crisis, guys, not just on their border, but on, like, that's what I mean. It's completely and utterly... They have created a humanitarian crisis for the sake of humanitarian.
They've created for the sake of being woke and for getting more Democratic voters.
To say
for launching a great reset and utterly for pushing ignorant. Globalism and for everything else.
They're too busy trying to distract us with Dr. Seuss and all this other crap. And while we're distracted, while the conservatives and the Republicans are distracted with Dr. Seuss, they're pushing through. You know, they're filibustering or whatever. They're pushing through their agendas in Congress.
Proud to note that we have not done a show about Dr. Seuss yet.
Seuss went in and just followed right along with it, whatever. I don't even just want to talk about it.
It's bad. It's getting worse. Something has to be done about it. And right now, I don't know who to ask. Okay, we may have to just talk to representatives in California, Arizona.
Mexico steps up even more.
California, Arizona, and Texas. And we can't listen. If they do, that's great. But we can't hope. We're Americans. We can't be, I hope Mexico saves us. We have to talk to, okay, D.C.'s not going to do a thing. They refuse. So talk to your representatives in Texas, in Arizona, in
Journalists
California.
Out there need
these
to.
Are the, they, these are the front lines yes. for this.
This is your job, man. Step up.
Do something. Do something.
Yes.
Lord willing, we will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong.
Stay safe.
God bless.